Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next general public comment is Dr. C. Height, followed by Julie Tacker.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. If I could.
Yes, sir.
Are we on public comment or are we on consent?
We're on consent.
Which one are we?
Consent. I'm sorry.
Okay. Some of the folks were asking out there, is this consent?
This is consent, and I apologize.
Okay, thank you.
We have all your slips, and we'll get to them. This is consent agenda that Chairman's calling.
Video for consent. Are we ready?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Dr. C. Height, Law Associates, and I want to welcome the board while I show you an overview of Tri-W, which is number 25 on the consent agenda as a public works item. I want to welcome the new chair and our new member, and please look at Tri-W from across what is a completed area. Number 25, submittal of a resolution authorizing execution of a notice of completion and exception. Acceptance of the Midtown Site Restoration Project, Los Osos District 2. And I have concerns that there's ever going to be a completion at Tri-W. What you're looking at now is the road construction on LOVR from the very edge of a raised area that is like a wall right along our public library in Los Osos. And there is a street across from all of this construction called Ravina. And it is called a Ravina for a reason. And I laughed at this when Piper Riley said they call it that for a reason. It's all going to flow downward across the site and towards the bay, and what you're looking at is like paper. It's like the kind of paper or cellulose that they spray with seed, and this is paper on top of not just sand. Los Osos is the most unstable. It's not just it's really fine particles of sand, and you're going to see a walkway which is just looks like really fine sand with paper around it. And you're going to see how this is all going to flow downward towards the bay. And I really invite our new board member and our chair and other interested parties to come out and see this for yourself, because it's ever-changing after the rains. Come and see this for yourself. If you want to come into Los Osos with this kind of heavy equipment, I recommend you come in a Humvee, in an armored personnel carrier. And actually, I rode to school in a weapons carrier across some pretty rough roads when I lived in Taiwan. So, you know, this is not all that new to me, but it's all going to flow downwards towards the bay, and there is erosion. Please consider that maybe Tri-W is not exactly done, and consider that it's going to be redone and redone and redone at a cost. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Height. Ms. Tacker.
Good morning. I'm Julie Tacker. I also live in Los Osos and have for 42 years. I am very familiar with the property that the doctor was speaking to, and it is item 25 on your consent calendar. I agree that we need to let our Burke go. They did complete the work that they were asked to do. Questions arise in what they were asked to do. And I would ask that your board ask for some sort of report or analysis, investigation into the project itself. This is not a restoration of the site. The topography today is entirely different than that topography of 2005. The site cannot hold it, and I believe it has violated its stormwater permit. Again, you need a report from Public Works on that site. Additional things that have been added were bollards and roads, decorative items. It's been stated thousands of times that the wastewater project is about the affordability for the public. If we're adding creature comforts like bollards and ropes when all that was intended to go there were little small string barriers of maybe a coil wire to keep people from going into the areas that were going to be revegetated, someone has taken a discretionary move and made a decision to spend prohibition zone monies on decorative items for the property, and it is turning into a park. Again, the home of the water is yours. The water is the county's. It is not the product, or the ownership should not be fall on the wastewater project and the cost to the prohibition zone customers to mitigate or maintain that water course. Thank you this morning.
Next speaker would be Jeff Edwards, followed by Lindy Owen, and that's all the speaker slips I have for consent this morning. Anybody else that'd like to speak? We need to get a speaker slip.
Thank you, Mr. Teixeira, board members. Good morning. My name is Jeff Edwards. I'm a longtime resident of Los Osos, and I, too, wanted to speak to consent item number 25 on your agenda today, which includes a notice of completion and acceptance for certain improvements made at the so-called Midtown site. This is just another chapter, if you will, in the wastewater project saga. Clearly, the work that's been done, it seems to be a work in progress. If you look at the site, it appears as if it's a moonscape, hardly a finished product. And I would suggest that we've spent some $750,000 on this restoration project, and the question becomes, how much more money are we going to spend? I would predict and submit to your board that you're going to be spending, or we're going to be spending money on this restoration project long after the wastewater project is fully completed. There's a fundamental question about the drainage aspect of this, and I would suggest that it's probably not the contractor's fault, so we'll probably cut him loose on the contract, but the design is very bad, and the fundamental question becomes, what can this site allow to convey off-site? And as the water moves through the property, it can be conveyed off-site, but what's not being done is the sediments that are in that runoff stormwater, they're not being settled out. And so what we have is hundreds of yards of sand and sediment being carried off the subject property and being dumped onto adjacent private property. That's problematic in my view. And in fact, I would suggest that perhaps this project is in violation of your stormwater pollution prevention plan. And so I think this is kind of an open-ended situation where, where do the dollars stop? I wonder. And it's somewhat reminiscent of the Santa Isabel traffic calming project that you probably recall. And that's the million-dollar half mile or thereabouts. And that's the traffic calming project in Los Osos that Public Works threw money at time and time again. And finally, they quit throwing money at it, and it's still an inferior project. So I would ask you to look at this. The largest question is, you can't dump sand on somebody else's property, and how much is this ultimately going to cost? Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Owen?
Good morning, Lindy Owen from Los Osos, and welcome to our new supervisor, Debbie Arnold. I wanted to speak on the Tri-W. The picture that you have in your packet shows a site that was before anybody did anything to it. So this is false. This is not what it looks like now. I've got pictures recently from the last. There's been probably six or seven events on that property that are nothing but erosion, and the property. My question is, Burke Engineering, or the engineering that was done on the project, was it looks like it was designed to run it off, which was not what it was explained, that it was going to be a stormwater collection basin. This is, we have the River of Sand. We have one right adjacent that the county has done major damage to the property next to it by ignoring it. This is the pollution and crap that comes out and is just washing into this basin. County workers come in and do the bulldozing and fix the bollards and, you know, restring them, take them out, put them back in. It's kind of like a cartoon if you live there and watch it every couple days. Three different regrades. At this point, it does look like some kind of a Martian planet because I don't know what they expect, but I guess they hope that it'll all tamp down or the erosion will knock the top off of all this. Basically, I'm just very upset that we're paying for a park. And according to Mr. Waddell in an August Bay News article, that maybe someday it would be a park. And so did Mr. Gibson say that there was a possible park in the future. Well, that's the future. Today, you need to take those bollards, add up that cost, and have county parks pay for those. It has nothing to do with restoration, has nothing to do with a collection basin. It is sheerly a plan for a park, Mr. Gibson.
Thank you, Ms. Owen. The last request I have to speak is Mr. Margeson.
Richard Margeson. I wasn't going to speak, but I didn't hear any of the speakers address an issue I have. $724,000 for this project. And I know the staff report looks like came in $76,000 under budget. But Mr. Edwards is correct. We don't know what it's going to cost down the road. And the rain events that Lindy showed you, none of them were, you know, 100-year events. Two Christmases ago, if you remember, it rained for almost 3 days straight. That site became a lake. That water stayed on that site for almost 6 weeks. And my other the reason I've turned in a slip is, why was this done and had to be completed before the dewatering that's going to be dumped on that site over the next 2 years is addressed? The dewatering plan says that over 8 million gallons a day could potentially be dumped on that site. What is that going to do to a site that a one-inch rain, those photos that Lindy showed you, the river, that was one from a less than one-inch rain event. Half an inch? Half an inch. What's going to happen to that site? $724,000? I hope part of your New Year's resolution were to start asking a few more questions about Los Osos and the issues. $724,000, we're not even remotely at a point of that site being restored. And we haven't even got to the issue of how much water and what the effect of that dewatering water is going to have on that site and the stability of that site down the road.
Thank you, Mr. Margeson. Being that the majority of the comments were on item 25, I'd ask staff to come and address those comments. Public Works, Mr. Waddell, welcome.
Good morning, Chair, members of the board. I'm John Waddell with the Public Works Department. If you bear with me 1 second, I was going to pull up an overview and a couple pictures. So I just want to put this overview up here primarily to orientate Supervisor Arnold. The Midtown site is, if you can see the cursor, right in the basically the middle of town. It was the former treatment plant site from the Los Osos CSD's wastewater project that was canceled in 2005. So the mass grading was done, and then when the project was canceled, it was just left in a graded state. And so, you know, by this last year, it was severely eroded. Just full of weeds. There were some areas that the habitat had come back, but most of the site was in pretty bad shape. And so it was a requirement of our coastal permit to restore that site. And so, you know, that's kind of addressing the comments today. That restoration is a long-term requirement of the project. You know, the coastal permit requires ongoing maintenance to restore restoration, which means, I mean, pulling non-native weeds, preventing erosion, ongoing maintenance. It anticipates, a heavy effort for at least the first several years. It requires annual monitoring and reporting for the first 5 years, and then on a five-year basis after that. So a lot of work related to the project. The item before you today is a requirement of contracting to record a notice of completion. Burke Construction has completed their contract per the plans and specs, which is essentially the mass grading of the site, putting up the fencing and trail fence, and the water has been staying on site. But the outlet of the site was never intended as a detention basin. I mean, the downstream end of that site then connects with another drainage, and it's part of the existing water courses in Los Osos. So, again, the item today is, required to close this contract with Burke. It starts a statutory period for any mechanics liens that subcontractors may have, allows them to release their bonding. The big picture, though, is that this site will take long-term maintenance, but it has been seeded now, and it's performing fairly well.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Waddell? Mr. Meacham?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. John, who is doing the oversight on this project?
It's our staff, Public Works, with a lot of input from Coastal Commission. It's their requirements to restore this site. For example, the trail fences were planned to be temporary mesh fence, and they've said no. We want to have something more substantial, and required the posts and the rope. So Coastal Commission is very involved, and then of course the regional board is involved from a stormwater standpoint. They've been out and inspected the site. We're not in violation of our stormwater permits.
I guess I'm looking more towards the county's interest in terms of the responsibility towards this. Do we have a point person that is overseeing this project at this point?
As project manager, that'd be myself, and then on all public works, including our director.
Okay, I guess I'm a little bit concerned that we're not going to be covering this as well as we could. I mean, I know you're good at what you do, and I think that my concern goes towards the cost, completion, things like that could easily slip through the cracks, and then the next thing we know, we're faced with an extra cost on something. Obviously, this is costly enough as it is. So I'm wondering if at some point the county should be looking at somebody that we need to put on board here to be the oversight for this whole thing, to make sure that this is being addressed properly. That way it doesn't take you away from the things that you're doing as well. So,
If I may interrupt, Mr. Meacham, you're referring to the Tri-W site.
No, I'm talking about this entire
the whole project. Okay.
Well, if I could, Mr. Waddell is the project manager, and I guess I'm not exactly sure what your concern is, Mr. Meacham.
I thought I just expressed it.
Well, but are you concerned that there are cost overruns here?
I'm concerned that based upon what we see in the photographs and others is the stormwater runoff being properly managed, number one?
Right.
Are we going to see some kind of residual concerns raised by regional water, by Coastal Commission? I don't know. But it seems to me that when you take on a project of this magnitude, you hire somebody that is the sole oversight for this, the person that can really stay on it day in, day out. Now, I don't know that John is going to be the guy to do that.
Well, I would direct those exact questions to John. Is the stormwater being properly handled on this site? Are we in violation of any permit from the regional board, John? Can you speak to those?
The stormwater is we are not in violation of our stormwater permits. It is being handled on the site and through the site. The stormwater percolates in to a certain extent on the site, but if it doesn't, it goes on. It exits the site into the Ravina drainage, and it's part of a natural drainage course that's existed prior to any disturbance. So that's the status of that part of the project. And then with the Coastal Commission, they've set up a process of annual monitoring and reporting as the habitat reestablishes and as the site reestablishes to what their intent is, which is a habitat area, and that's in our habitat management plan. It's a rather large document that's been approved by Coastal, has definitive guidelines on the monitoring and reporting, and those go to Coastal Commission on an annual basis that are then reviewed. There's an adaptive management component of that, so if that allows for adaptation and addressing issues as they arise. But so between those two agencies, they are providing. They're providing the oversight, and this is really a Coastal Commission condition to maintain and restore this site.
And if I might, specific to Tri-W, or the Midtown site as it's properly called at this point, you have your environmental staff within Public Works who are the point people on that, as I understand it. You might.
Well, yes, we have our environmental division, and those staff, they're the typically the primary contact with Coastal Commission and also for all of our permit compliance when it comes to biological resources, for example, which is the concern at Midtown. So making sure that we are compliant with.
I think that's the point, Mr. Meacham, is that we're going to get project updates here. Mr. Waddell is the project oversight. He is the man responsible. He is paid by the project to do the excellent job that he does. And at a point, we will be seeing periodic updates. And should there be problems, you can be assured that I'll be first in line to seek solutions to those.
Okay. Supervisor Ronald.
Thank you. I appreciated seeing the pictures today. Supervisor Gibson has invited me and my legislative assistant out to see the site, so I appreciate that, and we'll be going out there very soon. But I'm worried not just about the cost of this, but about doing a good job with the restoration. Just my questions would be this, just to clarify, today we're voting on Burke fulfilling their contract, which you say they have, and everyone seems to agree that they have. So yep. The vote will be that. My questions, though, as we go forward, would be, will there be more grading needed? I guess we don't know that answer because we don't know what the winter's going to bring. Again, to clarify, we're just restoring this site back to the original?
Well, it's being restored to its habitat value. So it's not being restored to the original contours that it was 10 years ago, but it's being restored to the same purpose.
Okay.
Of undisturbed land.
So then I guess reseeded with what? You mentioned it had been reseeded.
Yes.
And so is this a grass seed or
No, it's not a grass seed. It's all native. Grasses aren't native to Los Osos. So
right.
The requirement is for native plants. And there's
okay.
A very limited plant palette that is being used.
So it's like the Morro Manzanita stuff that
you Yeah, it's coastal
okay.
dune scrub.
Okay.
Yes.
And
I don't know the Latin
I've never
name,
lived
sorry.
In Los Osos either, so I don't know how long that takes to grow. But I guess my that just leads me. I was looking at those pictures thinking, we haven't had any extreme rain. Mm-hmm. So we have a little bit of a mud mess there. And wondering, was there a reason or did we have time restrictions that created a situation where we had to have this graded clean right now when the winter rains were coming, or could we?
Well, the grading was done in this past summer.
Okay.
And so we purposely waited until the winter to plant so that the plants would be
That's
established
what you had
with the
to
winter
do with
rains.
Those particular
yeah.
plants. I was just thinking that in Los Osos where it's cooler,
right.
we could.
And the challenge is because those types of plants do take a while to get established.
Sure.
They're not a grass type
yeah.
plant. It has a thick cover. They're shrubs and they're spread out, and so there's bare soil between them, and it takes time then for leaf litter and other things to cover that soil.
Absolutely.
But one of the strategies though was to wait till the rainy season mm-hmm. to plant, so we didn't have to be out there irrigating, and so that the plants would become established and wouldn't have to replant again.
But there is
in some of those pictures though that's the actual drainage channel, and so that's going to be that will be basically bare soil and be muddy because that's where the water flows. It's the rest of the site that where the plants will become more established.
But I expect once the plants are established, we won't have that kind of water flow through there. I mean, it'll hold back some.
Well, the water will continue to flow, but the plants will help stabilize the soils.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Waddell. Any further questions? Thank you. Okay, bring it back to the board for closed public comment and ask the board members if any items they'd like to pull. Start with Mr. Beacham. Okay. Supervisor Arnold?
Yes, please. Item two.
Okay. Supervisor Hill?
None at this point. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Supervisor Gibson?
And none beyond one we've talked about already.
Okay. We'll start with Mr. Supervisor Micho on item two.
I did have to item two, but I'll let Supervisor Arnold go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, so I did have a concern with item two, and that's the submittal of a resolution approving the joint power agreement. So it would be an amendment to the joint power agreement between the county and the incorporated cities for the RTA, the Regional Transit Authority. And my concern is this. First of all, my research, the JPA was established in 1990. The bylaws were created, then amended in 1998. So when I see an amendment come along, I wonder, you know, that doesn't happen very often. What's up? So my questions to, and I think Jeff is here. I saw him, yeah. Thank you, Jeff. We discussed this yesterday. But my question just was, the only part that I had a concern with was the, the language that would be added to allow the organization to take out loans from private or third-party representatives. So then, of course, the next question in my mind was, why do we need, what's happening? Is there an emergency? Is there necessary extra funding that would create a situation where we had to go seek out another stress of financial needs of the RTA on a case-by-case basis? So I would, it's my first day. I would want to make a motion that I would approve this, with excluding those words in Article 5, Number 7, that creates the situation to add this extra avenue to borrow.
Mr. Beecham?
Well, along the same lines, if you look at the Article 5, to Item 7, it's not really worded very well. To incur debts, liabilities, and obligations, as well as obligations of financial assistance. And then the other thing that I'm a little bit puzzled by is why that's commingled with the alternates. This is part, it's kind of including that discussion about the alternates' ability to do whatever they can do to incur liabilities and obligations as well as obligations of financial assistance from state and federal agencies. I'm not quite sure, what does that mean?
My name is Jeff Straw. I'm the executive director of the Regional Transit Authority, and I wasn't here in 1998, so I'm not sure what led to the last set of amendments. But when I did arrive in January of last year, it was brought to my attention that there was a need to look at the alternates issue because the cities don't have the ability to have somebody in closed session when an alternate is there. So we wanted to clear that up, make it align it with the SLOCOG board JPA. In terms of the debts, that really came up when in 2006 and 7 when we built our facility, moved out of our rental facility and then took on an obligation to make tenant improvements on a facility. We took a loan out with Santa Lucia Bank. And when we refinanced that in 2011, I believe it was, again before I was here, we realized that it's a little bit unclear here whether or not we have the ability to take a third-party debt. The way that, and my understanding of the language under number 7, Article 5, is that it really only looked at, or it was clear that we were able to take on obligations from state and federal agencies, but not necessarily with third parties, with a private agency. Thanks. So this is more of a clear cleanup. We've done it. We have a secured debt, a loan, just like I have with my home. I've got a mortgage to buy a home. We made the RTA made the decision in 2006 and 7 to take on debt, a mortgage to build a facility rather than continue to rent. But we weren't, when we did the refinancing, we looked at this and said, I think the legal counsel said, are we really able to do this? So this is more of a cleanup to permit us to do this. I'm not sure I answered your question, Mr.
Chair. I can,
Mr. McNulty.
I can speak to this as well.
Thank you.
My name is Tim McNulty, and I'm counsel for the RTA in addition to being the assistant county counsel here. So what Jeff's correct that the RTA does, in fact, currently have the ability to borrow money, and it has borrowed money twice. Right now we have a loan for a little over $3.5 million on the improvements that were necessary to the Cross Street facility. But when you looked at our JPA, it wasn't exactly clear that that was enumerated among the powers that we had. In fact, under statute, we have the ability to borrow money. It's clear that we do. There's no legal question about that, and we were able to provide the bank with that insurance. But I thought it was a little misleading for those members of the public who might be going through our JPA. And since we only make a JPA change rarely, what we tried to do was to collect all the things that we wanted to correct about it. So this is going to make it explicit that the RTA can indeed borrow money. Borrowing that it has done has been for capital improvements. It's not borrowed for operating expenses or anything like that. The loans, debts, and obligations of the RTA are solely those of the RTA and not of its member entities. So there's no question that the county or any of the cities is undertaking any additional obligation. And in the event that they do need to borrow, they will have to go back to the RTA board. Now, I should also note that the RTA board approved this proposed amendment to the JPA unanimously back in November, and it's now making its rounds among the cities, and the county board members, who are all members of the RTA, are voting on it for a second time, aside from yourself, Ms. Harden.
Yep. If I might,
Mr. Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And so just, Council, if you could just simply, my understanding is that the changes that are before us today simply clarify the powers of the JPA and in no way extend the powers of the JPA.
That's right, Mr. Gibson. As I mentioned, it's our opinion that the RTA currently has the ability to borrow money. This is going to make it clear in the enumerated powers of the Joint Powers Authority Agreement that we have the ability to borrow money. If you read it now, you could get to that conclusion just based on the JPA itself, but it's very unclear. I didn't draft it. It was a long time ago that it was drafted, and what we're trying to do is to clarify that one sentence.
The JPA on its black letter, but also the activities of the JPA over many years.
And the source of authority to borrow money comes from the Joint Powers Agreement statute, and in particular
our Frank is crippled giving me his chair. Again, it's just, we've had a culture of borrowing and going into excessive debt and whatever we're going to call it, clarifying or we just keep going down this trail, and someday after we're not here 20 years from now, third-party borrowing could be used in another way. To me, it just blings credit card, open credit card. And if we're fine doing what we've done and it's legal, I'm not comfortable with the language, so... That's just my explanation I shared with Jeff yesterday.
Other comments from colleagues? Mr. Hill?
I just think it's, not to confuse issues, it's a standard practice by statute of how an agency like this, it comes before the RTA board. The duly elected officials make decisions about, how to spend funds that the RTA needs. I think to conflate it with some larger sense of debt, that's just not accurate. It's a functional part of how government and private business and even individuals do things, whether they take mortgages out on things, they borrow money, we do bonds to complete projects. I mean, if you conflate all ways of debt with just a sense of that there's this national debt that's run by the federal government with the functional debts of agencies and business, then, we would have a hard time being able to do anything effectively. And if we were to do it case by case, we would have a hard time doing it and being able to take advantage of the best rates or best deals possible, too. So I just think that needs to be understood a little bit more.
Mr. Chair, I'm Tim McNulty again. I might add that it's a 10-year note that we took out. I think we've paid off about 2 years of it, and I don't think the RTA is having any difficulty making the payments on the loan.
Mr. Chairman, I'd go further than that. This is not the item before us. The advisability of taking on debt or not taking on debt is simply not at all what we're talking about today. That's a discussion for the RTA board to have. And to fail to make these clarifications today causes some fairly substantial procedural difficulties with RTA because the approval of these amendments has to be unanimous. So I think the proper venue for talking about whether RTA should be taking on debt or not really is at an RTA meeting, and we'll have one tomorrow, and I think you certainly want to raise that question. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to move approval of consent as correct as well. As let me go ahead and with the motion as modified by the core agenda.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Go on to other speakers, Mr. Meacham.
I was going to go ahead and move make a motion on that, but I'm comfortable with this mainly because there are checks and balances in place to be able to allow the board to address that, so I'm good with it.
Good. That was my comment also. Okay.
Deb? Yeah. So I'm talking about the language being added to allow the organization, so keywords being added to allow the organization to take out loans from a private third party. I understand everything that's been said. I want to bring these kinds of public spending decisions back into an arena where the public can follow it a little better. And like I said, the RTA is a body of electeds, but not an elected body. The public is less public scrutiny. I would just like to see the needs of the RTA taken on a case-by-case basis, and I just think that's responsible public money spending. So that's all I'm going to say.
Thank you.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
No.
And Mr. Teixeira?
Yes.
No on one specific item or the whole consent?
That was the entire consent.
Oh,
that was
gosh.
The entire consent. Did you just want to reserve it on that item,
well, I'm sorry,
Ms. Arnold?
Yes, and actually, when or could I make a motion? No, because I lost it anyway. I was going to make a motion that we approve all this without that one particular sentence, but so you all have to help me how I need to vote on this.
If I might,
you could do no on two.
No on two. Okay, that's what it would be. No on two as presented.
And Mr. Chairman, I've talked to council about this. You know, we want to process our consent agenda efficiently, but I think. At a point, my discussions with council suggest we might need a slight bit of formality in the future. If a supervisor wants a separate consideration of a given item, we should go ahead and formally pull that for separate consideration, I think.
Excuse me, Chairman. This is Rita Neal, County Council. I think in order to make our record clear today, it would be better if we took a vote on all items except item two and took a separate vote on item two, and I think that might help the clerk as well.
Okay. I'll make a motion to approve all items with the exception of number two.
On public comment is how honored and appreciative and grateful that I still have this short 3 minutes of free speech. Our veterans have not died in vain. I'll wait for this gentleman to take care of his business. Thank you. Continue, please. Not died in vain because extremely important voice exists. Public comment to me is more important than voting itself. Even though the politicians may not want to listen to what the public comment has to say sometimes, they are forced to hear what we are saying all the time. It is one of the few times public servants have to be silent while the public speaks. Bob Cuddy, Sandra Dewar, the Tribune can silence my letters to the editor. They can blackball me from the paper. However, their corporation cannot silence my constitutional rights of freedom of speech as here in public comment. Bill Wolkoff, the wealthy owner of Sky River RV, and his criminal defense attorney, Jeffrey Dave Stellberg, cannot silence me from trying to protect employees' rights as a victim advocate here at public comment. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in California. Public comment is the only one time that I can have my day in court without having to hire and pay an attorney. I believe one of the most important things the Board of Supervisors can do, not only hear what public comment has to say, but also make it the most important criteria in the critical decisions that this board decides on. You know, in public comment, there's a story of a young 8-year-old who all the engineers and staff and everything couldn't figure out how to get this truck through the tunnel. Well, it was an 8-year-old boy who came up with a simple public comment to say, let the air out of those tires. We get another thing. All those engineers, all those intelligent people couldn't figure it out. But that's why a public comment is so important. And it's such an honor to have this, to be able to speak a person's mind and have the influence, hopefully, that what we say. The people are intelligent. They've elected you. And I think it's such a great thing that we have them, this public comment is given to us as a constitutional right. In public comment, I can still say, God bless this Board of Supervisors, and God bless this country.
Thank you, Mr. Censor. Ted Dawson's next, followed by Jeff Edwards and then Julie Tacker.
My name's Tom Dawson. I wanted to address a philosophical direction of the previous board and this board. Former Chairman Patterson laid out and was proud of the priorities that the previous board had in the economics, environmental progress, and social equity areas, which are three E's of Agenda 21. That's the United Nations plan for our county. Okay. And I don't know that the United Nations, in fact, I'm sure the United Nations has no business in our county or shouldn't have. And that'll be up to a lot of you to decide that in various pieces of legislation that come before you. The Agenda 21 is based on a supposed global climate change crisis. I will be addressing the climate change issue in depth over the next few weeks in public comment. We have been sold an environmental crisis by large, well-funded organizations such as the United Nations and several others, whose goals are stated clearly. The land holds the wealth of a nation, and land in the hands of private individuals concentrates too much wealth in the possession of a few private people. Therefore, that wealth, the land, must be moved out of the hands of private individuals and put into the hands of the collective. Starting to sound like Marxism. And redistributed to third world developing countries so they can, quote, catch up, so we can all be at the same poverty level. Also known as public-private partnership, the public gets the benefit and of my property, and I pay the bills. It's going on in Australia right now. There's a big takeover is going on. Guess who is working their way into the tax system? The United Nations. And they need a tax. Their motives are not a mystery. The United Nations have always needed a tax to have more power.
The system covers a lot of topics: water, wastewater, schools, traffic, and so forth. But I wanted to focus on water this morning. And just last Wednesday, the Water Resources Advisory Committee met as an adjunct to your flood control district. And one of the agenda items was, in fact, consideration of the subcommittee report that will be made to your board in this connection. And I wanted to speak specifically to the water aspects of it. And unfortunately, a great deal of the resource management system is based on the countywide master water plan. And if you remember, not that long ago, your board had a discussion about the master water plan and actually changed it from plan to a report because of the many inaccuracies or inconsistencies in that project or that work. And so what's happened, unfortunately, is that many of these flaws in the countywide master water plan are being carried forward into the resource management system under the water section. And I think it's creating a number of challenges, particularly for your own staff. And I'll just give you a few examples around the county, and really the questions go the breadth of the county. Cambria, the resource management system is still talking about open ocean and seawater desalination, and that's really not a a topic of immediate interest there. Los Osos has issues. Santa Margarita has a drought reliability question. The northern cities management area, including Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo, and Oceano, they're all part of this. And there's problems with each of those sections. So to borrow one of Public Works' phrases, adaptive management, unfortunately, I think they're going to have to engage in adaptive management to go back and correct not only the resource management system, but the countywide master water plan. And I think it's critical that that happen because many of your decisions are based on those documents. And to have flaws in the information, however subtle or far-reaching, I think it's important that they be corrected. So unfortunately, Carollo engineers did the work on the master water plan, but I think their work was abbreviated, and really substantial more work needs to go into that document. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Ms. Tucker, followed by Vinda Fada and Eric Greening.
Good morning again. I am Julie Tacker from District 2, and I first want to welcome Debbie and say just from the first few minutes of this meeting, you are a breath of fresh air. The rest of you, I'm here to scold you for appointing Supervisor Gibson as the vice chair. It appeared to be a foregone conclusion, and that may have indeed violated the Brown Act. What bothers me more is that it's rewarding bad behavior. Mr. Gibson's first plank in his campaign platform was to tell the truth always. Last November, he told the Tribune that he was having an affair with his legislative assistant and that he was going to file for divorce. As of this morning, I checked over at the Superior Court, he has not filed for divorce. Is he lying to the Tribune? Is he lying to Dr. Crittenden? Or is he lying to Sherry and the rest of us constituents? As for Mrs. Spiro, she was to begin work elsewhere in the county. As of last night, on the Board of Supervisors website, under the District 2 heading, Mrs. Spiro is still the legislative assistant, and when you telephone her phone number, you still get her voice and her voice mail. If indeed she has been moved out of the legislative assistant's position, she's been gone some almost 2 months, raising the question whether or not Mr. Gibson indeed needs a legislative assistant at all. If he's continuing to give 110% to his constituency without a legislative assistant, I see a nearly $80,000 a year savings for the county. But when he does that, and the longer he goes without a legislative assistant, raises question to whether or not any of you need a legislative assistant. And some 15 years ago, there was only one aide for all five board members. So his behavior and the drama that's continuing to go around him and his assistant is reflecting on you. And you, I'm sure, feel that your assistants are very necessary. But if this plays out, I think that question will keep coming up, and the public will continue to ask it, and I will just simply...
...by them such as, number one, the Broderson site high above the town where many homes and lives are situated, depositing 1 million gallons of water a day to recharge the aquifer would have resulted in a La Conchita hillside collapse, killing people, damaging many homes, infrastructure, and so forth. Number two, the placing of a treatment plant right in the middle of town at the Midtown site that's flooding up right now, next to many homes, church, library, mobile home park, Sweet Springs, Mar Bay, and so forth. Then the placing of the treatment plant far out of our basin at the 643-acre Tonini site when 30 acres would have sufficed. Number four, then the wasting of water with spray fields of treated water in the air, never to be seen again. Number five, now those two are trying to sell, or I should say give away, half-treated water way out of town to a dry farmer with us to pay for the pipeline to the dry farmer. Number six, they did not allow bids from better and cheaper alternatives. Instead, it was only bids from the antiquated, overpriced, unaffordable, stinking energy hog gravity system. Number seven, there was no afford to be studied. So how can you get a loan? Number eight, this Santa Isabel beautifully traffic calming project. It's the ugliest thing you've ever seen. What a wasted, almost $1 million wasted, 10 years of time. These are only examples of facts that we know about. Only they know how many others there are that they buried. Board members, this is not good thinking by those two and others that are on the payroll that have letters behind their names. Those two and others should have been fired a long time ago. Unfortunately, the wasted years it took experimenting, or should I say gambling, the above to start a so-called Gibson-Ogren shovel-ready project of 4 years ago has almost destroyed our only drinking water supply with saltwater treasure. But wait, those two have a replacement plan for this. Why? It's the mercury-laden Lake Nacimiento water project at another $40 million cost to us to hook up. I thank you for the extra time, sir. Continue next week.
Eric Greening, followed by Dr. C. Height, and then Lindy Owen.
Thank you. I am Eric Greening, and I want to get back into the subject of the resource management system. But first, to address the issue that came up at consent, it was true up until the end of the year, last year, that the RTA board was in more obscurity than your board, simply because your board was on the radio. Now they are absolutely equal in terms of the access of the public, because AGP Video records both. They are both available, streamed and archived on the respective websites, and they both happen in this room to which the public has access. It is true, however, that any JPA has a sort of a second-order board. They are all elected officials, but they are not the directly elected officials for that role. Some places have transit districts. For example, in the Bay Area, they have a BART board that is separately elected from the regional local governments. But in any event, if I were going to be... I never miss a regional transit authority meeting or a SLOCOG meeting, but I'm going to miss both tomorrow because of the seismic issues at the Coastal Commission. But I do think that the appropriate way to look at debt issues is essentially to question capital expenditures when they arise and protect the operating budget above all. And given that we are already obligated to what we are currently obligated to, I would encourage us to continue paying off that note, but certainly raise questions about future capital expenditures. On the RMS, now I just have time to question the timing. Does it have to come before your board on February 19th? There are a lot of changes just in the parts that we've seen. The RAC got a peek ahead at the water section, and there were constant issues there. You see in jurisdiction after jurisdiction under water demand, quote, still no documentation sources which planning agreed to provide. We do have an understaffed planning department, but I mean, if the pieces can't be gotten together and the corrections can't be made, we don't know what's in the parts that have not gotten pre-scrutiny. For example, the roads or transportation part, there's no equivalent of the RAC on that. We have a Citizens Transportation Advisory Committee, but it advises SLOCOG. It doesn't get involved in transportation issues, so nobody's taking a pre-peek at that. The APCD doesn't have an advisory committee to take a pre-peek at that. You're going to be getting the whole package, including the water sections.
This is what a woman looks like when she is completely beaten down. And the women of Los Osos in the county have been beaten down in this room, disparaged, slandered, even called out publicly when they hadn't uttered a peep. And it's the acoustics in this room. It will focus a gasp from the back row, and a unified expression will be directed to your ear. took the grand jury to instruct a former board to allow their female representative to speak. And what we have on this board is two gentlemen and two bullies. Being dismissive of women and their community concerns is never acceptable. We just saw the best example of a supervisor who does not wait to be recognized and creates arguments, and I believe our chair is capable of presiding over this meeting. Council, you should have spoke sooner. And Chair, please call a recess when one of your board members gets up and leaves. And that's the people of L.A., the people versus the city of L.A., and your council knows about this. You are here to hear the satisfaction of the people, and it's not the other way around. And you just saw the best example of two bullies asserting that the woman doesn't know what she's talking about. And I enjoy the history on RTA. It gives a frame of reference. You will see me stand and when I hear inequity, and I will stand for democracy, and I will stand for inclusion as long as I am able. And we have been distracted from the Coastal Commission, which is meeting this week. And we have been distracted over our coastal supervisor's role in pushing forward an incredible wrong. And all I have to say about your private life, supervisor, is that we deserve to know that a woman is good at her job when she has a position with the county and not good at another type of job. Every woman that works for this county deserves that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Height. Ms. Owen, followed by Alan Martin. And then Richard Margeson.
Good morning again. Lindy Owen from Los Osos, where our wastewater project has pretty much got a push to get rid of all of our basin water wherever they can dump it so that we will be forced to hook up to Nacimiento. Slightly illegal, but that is the premise of this project that Mr. Gibson and Mr. Pava Ogren have pushed so hard for. And just a reminder, Ms. Arnold, we had a chance to have a much lower impact project that met all the criteria and didn't have 12 lift stations and use all the energy. But Mr. Gibson and Mr. Ogren made arrangements to make that not come forward. And then KCBX would rather play jazz and lose the $20,500 annual contract that they were receiving from this board then provide the public service of keeping the public informed of what goes on in these weekly meetings. It was 6.5 hours. Thanks a lot, Frank Lanzone and staff. A sewer update. We finally, after I had heard from Robert Rios, I think his name was, that we would have this about 5 weeks ago. But here it is, our very fancy brochure that doesn't tell us anything that we didn't already know because we've been to the big fancy meetings that they do once every 2 years or so. Here's the most important part about Los Osos that's losing its basin, water conservation. 2 by 2 square inch, that's it. And you have to call the county to find out. They couldn't tell you that there's rebates on toilets, on washing machines, et cetera. Pitiful. Big joke. Just a reminder, too, this project is paying $7.6 million to a firm called HDR for project construction management and for PR. It took whatever. The project's been going on for 6 months. This finally appears. We have no notification. There's no signage on any buildings. This is like the CIA secret building area for HDR, as well as the county, which you're supposed to be able to go hook up your lateral, find out where your laterals are, which I remind people, if you're listening, the laterals are incorrect almost entirely. And as far as I think Gibson and Pavo, Bruce Gibson and Pava Ogren, your public works director, both need full investigations from an outside source. Mr. Ogren had much influence on what happened with the sewer in Los Osos through his relationship, his extramarital relationship with one of our CSD influential people. Things would not have happened if that affair had not gone forward and been allowed. We actually had the...
It was very misleading without Mr. Meacham being in presence so that the entire board could have voted on it. But there's no end to the audacity that Mr. Gibson has has expressed to the county. And as a resident of District Number 2, I find it very, very offensive that we have a board member that is costing the taxpayers a lot of money and has an administrative assistant that definitely is more than an administrative assistant. Perhaps every board member should have a courtesan, or we should call the Medici family in Italy and have them provide every member, every executive, you know, with a courtesan to serve them at taxpayers' expense, no less. So that's why I find it very offensive for Mr. Gibson to not, you know, act up and give us a resignation that I think our District 2 deserves. It deserves something better than what we have sitting on our District Number 2 board. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. Richard Margeson, followed by Andrea Seastrand, and Laura Mordaunt is the last speaker slip I have for this morning. If there's anybody else that wishes to speak, you need to get your slip turned in. Mr. Margeson.
Richard Margeson, Mr. Meacham, you were gone at the last meeting of the year, but this item was on consent calendar for a contract for recycled water for Los Osos with a dry land farmer. Staff report was what's on the overhead and this front page, plus the attached contract. No discussion of the cost of running the line from the wastewater treatment plant to this property. No discussion of the annual O&M cost to deliver 50 acre feet, not only treat it to Title 22, but then deliver it to this site. But in the under financial considerations, the contract will provide at least $5,000 per year in revenue, which will help offset user charges to the wastewater customers in Los Osos. As if that's a positive for this recycled water contract. I've talked to three experts on recycled water in this county. They say there's not even a remote chance that $5,000 covers treatment, delivery, and the maintenance, and laying the line to the project. Probably wouldn't recoup that for more than 100 years, even with the CPI built into the contract. So you talk about Mr. Waddell being the project manager. He allowed Mr. Diodati to bring this forward, one-page discussion on a contract that has no impact, none, on seawater intrusion. Not one impact on seawater intrusion in a positive manner. And after the agenda item, and it came back to your board, Mr. Waddell came up and... Mr. Diodati came up and explained that this is part of the coastal development permit and that, and said, Mr. Waddell is in the audience if you'd like to have a discussion about the seawater intrusion impacts. Mr. Gibson immediately jumped to his microphone and said, oh, we've discussed this before. It's been talked about. It's been addressed, blah, blah, blah. 50 acre feet of a potential 700 to 800 acre feet having no impact on seawater intrusion. And it just gets passed off like it's no, like it has nothing to do with Los Osos. And we keep hearing about the great ISJ. And Ms. Morrow, our general manager, came here and convinced you and county staff that the ISJ was moving forward and she was having an impact. Ms. Morrow was fired a week ago by the CSD because she had no clue what the seawater intrusion impact and what the water issues were for Los Osos, and she wasn't even remotely on the same page with the five CSD board directors. She was a general manager for the Los Osos CSD for 6 months. 6 months. And you're not going to have that discussion. I'd like to know when you're going to have that discussion, because $5,000 comes not even remotely covers the cost of this contract.
Thank you, Mr. Margeson. Andrea Seastrand, followed by Laura Mordaunt.
Andrea Seastrand, Grover Beach. Thank you, Supervisor Enablers, as a Board of Supervisors. Anyway, my point is I think that we need to put Supervisor Hill on timeout for a year to see how his behavior is over the next year. And if he does better and does a good job of giving more hugs, then I say let's reward him with being president of SLOCOG or some other regional body. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Seastrand. Laura Mordaunt is the final speaker that I have for public comment.
To uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, freedom, liberty, the amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that's what you all have sworn to. And I am seeing an opportunity in 2013 that maybe some of this will come to fruition at the board. And when we speak about these things, because you swore to that, and when we speak about them, we do not expect to be downgraded and called names for speaking up for liberty and freedom. We are not the collective. When Mr. Dawson talked about the UN Agenda 21, it's glaze over time. Yes, that is far removed from us in terms of physicality, but is not removed from us because that is where they enact their agenda, is here at the local level. ICLEI is the instrument that was set up, just read the document, it's only about 400 pages, and it will explain that ICLEI is the implementation at the local level. So we will be talking about this because I think maybe this board might be ready to hear that we, the citizens, are numerous in this awareness, and we are trying to have change occur. Ms. Arnold is an opportunity, but the rest of you, I appreciate that there will be a learning curve. There will be a learning curve and an opportunity for you to rethink the collectivism that has been passed. So we have to make up for past issues. Now, one of the things I observed today, because everything was on the consent agenda, there were people able to speak out on the consent agenda items for that. Then we have public comment. I think that we have it backwards. I think public comment should always be allowed after heavy issues that are being considered, after you all have had an opportunity to comment. We never have the last word. We never get to comment on what you say until the following week. So I thought it was very refreshing. Eric Greening, I enjoyed hearing what he had to say, this gentleman here, everyone here, Los Osos, put it on the agenda. I don't care if you've already agreed to contracts. What is values and character and honor? Where are the heroes in our county? That is a problem. These people are very intelligent, and it goes unheard. And, yes, a timeout for a year is in order. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mordaunt. That concludes public comment. We will go to board committee reporting. This is something that we did on a monthly basis under Mr. Patterson's chairmanship. I'm going to move it to quarterly, and we'll start with Mr. Gibson. Any comments on
Mr. Chairman, I'll just speak briefly to a workshop that I attended in the middle of December, the December Coastal Commission meeting. I don't know that I reported on this, but a group of 12 elected officials met with the 12 coastal commissioners under the auspices of our State Association of Counties and the League of California Cities to talk about process and results, particularly in regards to the amendment of our local coastal program, which is essentially the general plan within our coastal zone. And I think it's well understood that the Coastal Commission's process is at times lengthy and cumbersome and not well understood, causes a certain level of frustration, not only with private property owners who deal with that body, but also with public agencies. And this was the second meeting of local elected officials and the commissioners aimed at trying to improve the relationship and improve the results. And two of the main topics that were addressed there had to do with how we amend our local coastal program and how it is that coastal staff interacts with county staff. And we're hoping to move forward in a way that will allow these amendments to be made much more efficiently and without what we call there's good reason to improve the staffing of the Coastal Commission as part of making things move more efficiently through their process. So I would have to be realistic in telling you that the culture of the Coastal Commission is not going to change overnight, but I think it was very important that we had six county supervisors and six elected city officials talking to the commissioners directly, and we will continue that dialogue. We hope within the next 18 months or at the outside 2 years we'll be at that table again. And I'm hopeful that I'll be there with that, because I think over time we have a chance to make some progress there.
Very good. Thank you, Supervisor Gibson. Supervisor Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just an update on the Amgen tour finish that's going to take place in Avila in May. Yesterday we had another big meeting, so big that I think the next meeting we're going to have to find another venue, because we were trying to make sure that everybody that can possibly be involved is at the table. The tour organizers were once again in town. This was the second time we've met with them. Mr. Buckshy, our CAO, and Mr. Schulte, his assistant CAO, are also involved. Things are good. Things are looking are starting to come together. The course is coming together. The folks, as Mr. Buckshy laid it out yesterday in our discussion, there's two sides of it, logistics and entertainment. On the logistics sides, when I check in with CAL FIRE, Highway Patrol, Sheriff, all the agencies that need to be involved, they're confident that they can do it. There's still some logistics to be worked out. It's during bike month next year, and we want to see everybody biking into Avila, so there's those logistics.
Is it this year?
It's this year, yeah. That's right. I'm sorry. That's right. The calendar changed. That's right. It's 2013 this year.
Sorry about that.
I'm sorry. No, thank you for clarifying. This year, this May, we're hoping to have a really exciting event that is something that goes beyond just the finish in Avila. I know that the hotelier folks, the Rossi, King, Martin, and others contingent, are very excited about putting on a post-event concert and a kind of fair for the residents here in our community. So I'm really pleased with how well all the stakeholders and all of the people responsible for the various things from public safety to public sanitation are working together, and I think we're going to have a really terrific event for the entire county.
Very good. Thank you. Supervisor Arnold.
I just have a comment. I do appreciate, I want you all to know, those of you that took time to come here today, how much I appreciate your involvement in the public process, and I look forward to serving you this year.
Thank you. Mr. Meacham.
I really have nothing, but because I wasn't here yesterday, I just wanted to quickly welcome my new colleague and welcome back, Mr. Hill, and look forward to working for you this next 4 years.
Thank you.
It's been a very interesting 4 years for me, and we've learned a lot, and there's a lot to do, and I think that we're going to get it done. So my office is always open to anybody. If you have any things that you want to talk to us about, we'd be more than happy to do so. So I look forward to working with the board this next year, and I apologize for not being here yesterday. Had a couple little issues with surgery on a shoulder and then caught the flu at the same time. I thought I was going to call in to see if I could be a cast on The Walking Dead. It was just getting pretty rough. But it's good to be back.
Welcome back. I'm going to go to public comment. Okay, thank you, Mr. Meacham. Just comment on Mr. Meacham's injury. It's not from his days of acting in the Westerns and Paso Robles. It's work-related. Okay. Madam Clerk? Anything
from
else?
Yourself, Mr.
Nope.
Chair.
I'm good. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Item number 29, direct staff regarding preliminary studies associated with the possible purchase of 3 parcels near Edna within the Anza Trail Corridor.
Hey, good morning, Chair Teixeira and members of the Board of Supervisors. I'm Curtis Black, your Deputy Director for County Parks. This item does address some parcels near Edna along the Anza Trail Corridor. County Parks intended to reschedule this item to January 29th and had already contacted interested persons who did express interest in commenting on the item before your body. Through my error, the item was not properly removed from your agenda today. Our department would like to allow time for public input for anyone attending today interested in this topic, and then ask your board to reschedule this item for actions on January 29th so those other parties could attend.
Great. Is there anyone in the audience that has comments on this item?
Yeah.
Okay. You can wait till the 29th?
You can.
Okay, very good. We'll put you first on the agenda on the 29th, Mr. Greening. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Chair, then, if you close public comment, I would move that we continue this item until the 29th.
So close public comment on this item. Thank you, sir. Second.
Mr. Okay. Meacham.
Madam Chair, Secretary.
Mr. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Meacham?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Gibson?
Yes.
Ms. Arnold?
Yes.
And Mr. Teixeira?
Yes. Thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda is closed session. Open the floor to public comment on any closed session items. If we don't have any, we'll close public comment on that and go to County Council. Estimated time?
Rita Neal, County Council. I estimate 20 minutes today.
Thank you, Ms. Neal. We will be back here at 11 o'clock.